So I think that all of us have memorized at least one verse. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We each spend at least 2 hours a day chanting Sanskrit verses. Right? So we're not unfamiliar with how enlightening it is to chant at least that one verse. And Prabhupada said that it will see that all the verses of the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, Upanishad, they're all mantras. They can be chanted repeatedly for enlightenment, for depth of understanding, and for transcending the material world. So we're going to begin with a understanding of why you should chant verses. There are many reasons. And once we know why, hopefully we'll be more enlightened to practice. And we have some instructive slides about the pronunciation and the meter, and also some samples of different meters and some exercises we'll do, try to actually memorize some verses while we're here. And everything that's here, I have it recorded on a CD. I put all the PowerPoint and everything, and I made it. If you don't have PowerPoint program, I also have PDFs, so you can study it at your leisure, because it's a bit much to take in all one session. But we'll try our best in all this. So, my friend here will do the honors. Again. So the first thing, why remember our stories? We need it in order to do anything. Of course, we want to remember Krishna. So why memorize slogans to help us remember Krishna and become Krishna conscious? That's the answer. So here's some answers to that. To help us become Shastra-chakshu, one who sees through the eyes of Scripture. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to do that. This afternoon, Maharaj was speaking, Chandramali Swami, about seeing Krishna in the material world. Well, if you become familiar with the verse that he gave us, Yomam Pashyati Sarvata Salvantrama Pashyati, and many others, and you live according to those verses, you'll be able to see differently. You see according to your consciousness. Someone who is familiar with the Renaissance art, for instance, he'll go on to a museum and he'll see much more than someone who just casually walks in the museum. Isn't it? So we're seeing the world and seeing ourselves according to our conception of ourselves and according to our understanding as given by Shastra. So these verses help us to see through the eyes of Scripture, to speak authoritatively. Srila Prabhupada wanted this. He himself, as we all know, he quoted so many verses in his verses. And he wanted his disciples and followers to follow suit. It gives a great deal of substance to when we present the philosophy. And it attracts people. To improve the quality of our presentation, to check the tendency to speculate. Prabhu, where does it say that in Shastra? Oh, Manmanabhagamangurta, or it says it right there. You know, or whatever. You see what I'm saying? In other words, it keeps us grounded in the authority of Shastra, very important. To help this town be accepted and preserved as a genuine spiritual culture. So this is part of it, that anyone who travels, especially in India, when you were able to cite Shastra, people pay much more attention. To worship Lord Krishna without intelligence. Now this is right from the Bhagavad Gita. At the end of the Bhagavad Gita, it says anyone who studies this discourse of mine would pursue by his intelligence. So what to speak of remembering? I mean, devotees now, after all these years, some of them memorized the whole Bhagavad Gita. I have to be honest, I haven't done that. But it's a perfect way of being there, of being there with the original sound that Krishna spoke to Arjuna is very ecstatic. To help us remember and love Lord Krishna, smarta vyaksitam vishnuvai. Yes, we can say that's the theme of this weekend. How can we come to the point of smarta vyaksitam vishnu, always remembering Krishna and never forgetting him? So this is one of the ways that helps us. Okay. A few more reasons to learn how to pray. There's so many beautiful prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam and other Chaitanya Charitamrita and other Shastra. And we recommend that we can recite prayers that attract us. Kunti's prayers, Prahlad's prayers, other prayers. And we know they're authorized. We can also have our own prayer, but we need to learn those first to get into the right mood. And a wonderful expression, Krishna's pleased, it says in the Nectar Ocean, when you offer prayers, follow in the footsteps of the previous devotees. As a transcendental recreation, anyone who's spends any time with me, you'll know that this is how I like to spend time with devotees. But ooh, you hear these nice verses, you know. And if someone, you get a partner, you know, in learning verses, it's just like heaven, better than heaven. It's like the Lord of the Lord. You reach an inch of eternity and you find Lord Chaitanya spending hours and hours, you know, all night with Sukhamada, Ramananda Roy. They were just sharing these wonderful expressions in Krishna Karnamrita and other verses. As a means of purification, to help remind us and prepare us for death. And this is explained, we'll have a quote here, some direct quotes from Prabhupada. In the 8th canto of Gajendra, Prabhupada encourages us to be like Gajendra, who finally, after 1,000 years, he started remembering the verses that he learned in previous life, and he offered them to Krishna. He was saved. So Srila Prabhupada wanted us to, in the next few slides, we'll give some quotes. I didn't take this, it's kind of cool, but that's what it is. So this is from this Gajendra pastime. Here's some quotes directly from the Shastra there, from the text. Thereafter, the king of the elephants, Gajendra, fixed his mind and his heart with perfect intelligence and chanted a mantra which he had learned in his previous birth as in Yajumna and which he knew by the grace of Krishna. Mr. Srila Prabhupada expands on that. Keep going. Although the king of the elephants was put into danger, this was a chance for him to remember his previous devotional activities so that he could immediately be rescued by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, we should not forget the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. And it is
that. This is our salvation, hopefully. Will this reach?
Yeah. These things are always running out of juice, causing trouble.
Some pop song, or some even some jingle, some advertising jingle, You know, something will kick off, you remember that suddenly the whole thing plays out in your mind. You don't want to remember it, but it comes in. So similarly, if you cultivate this good remembrance, then it stays with you. And that's one of the reasons is because of the power of the meter, you know, the rhythm that helps the mind to fix on something and creates a better samskara in the brain. So this is one of the values of learning these metrical mantras. Now in your leisure hours, you will try to repeat and get by heart some of the slokas. That would be very nice. Actually, keep going. So we should try to learn, again. Okay, so this is a very important episode. In Tokyo 1972, Srila Prabhupada was with devotees. He just left LA after 8 months. He spent 8 months in Los Angeles. I don't know if you know the history. And he was staying there, and he had all the presidents come. Mostly it was in North America in those days. And they learned deity worship. He set up the class schedule. He started the Bhagavatam class. The morning program took shape when Prabhupada stayed there in Los Angeles. But after 8 months, for various reasons, he left. And he stayed in Tokyo for some days. And he had a small band of devotees with him. And they were studying from the ninth chapter, second canto. You know. And Prabhupada had them all memorize the verse. Every verse of the class, he had them memorize the verse. So gradually the class got longer and longer because they were reciting all the verses that they had memorized. You see? And Prabhupada was emphasizing in this particular time the memorization. So there'll be some quotes from here. So we should try to learn, get it by heart, at least one shloka, two shlokas in a week. If we chant one or two verses in the Bhagavatam, that will make you very quickly advanced for spiritual realization. We are therefore taking so much trouble to get this transliteration, the meaning, so that the reader may take an advanced step, full advantage of the mantra. It is not that to show some scholarship that I know so much Sanskrit. No, it is just offered with the ability to learn the mantra. The Bhagavatam verses are all transcendental vibrations. They are also mantras. All the verses from Bhagavad Gita, Shri Bhagavatam, spoken by Krishna. Vyasadeva is an incarnation of Krishna. They're also mantras, infallible instructions. So 1 or 2 days, you get the shloka by heart, you can chant, it is not difficult. One more quote. So you have to study like that. So many shlokas, I am taking so much labor. It is not for that I am making business for selling money and not for my students. You must all be like this practice. Why so much trouble is being taken, word to word, meaning, and then transliteration? If you chant this mantra, that vibration will cleanse the whole atmosphere. I think there may be one more. And wherever you go, in any part of the world, if you can chant this mantra, you will be received like God. It is so nice. And in India, you will actually be received like gods if you chant this mantra. They will so often respect so many things. So God is encouraging us. Now here is my little 7 easy steps for memorizing verses. Now the practice. So that was the motive. Now if you're interested, here's a very simple process, and it's not complicated at all. So we're gonna actually practically try this in a few minutes. So the first thing is you have to know how each of the letters are pronounced. Most of us pick that up after a while. But you'll notice in the end of books like Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Ishvarupanishad, there's a Sanskrit pronunciation guide. And learn how all the letters are pronounced and what the consonants and the long and short vowels are. So this takes a few minutes. Anyone who comes to class regularly, you pick up most of it. But there are more sounds in the Sanskrit than there are in English, so that's where they need the diacritic letters. But the good thing about Sanskrit, you know, the very word Sanskrit, does anyone know what it means, Sanskrit? Sanskrit? It means perfectly composed. Sanskritam. Sanskrit. And it means that it's very scientific. This language was created by Brahma, beginning of the universe. And therefore every letter is pronounced the same way. In other words, you don't have to worry like in English. Prabhupada would sometimes criticize English. He said, what a, you know, crazy language, whatever word he used. He used the example, bat and put. In other words, if you have to spell exactly the same, but they sound different. Why shouldn't it be bought and put? Or would and put, but not but and put. And anyone who knows English is, you know, 10,000 of those, right? Silent letters and this and that. So the Sanskrit's not like that. Everything is very precise. So once you learn the science of it, you know how it's put together, then you can take any verse and you can pronounce it pretty well. not like South Indian Brahmins, but pretty well. So then, after you know how to everything's pronounced, you read a translation of a memorable verse and become familiar with it. Memorizing it isn't necessary, although there's certainly no harm. I remember I was always impressed with Niranjan Maharaj, because he also memorized the English, translation, the chanted verse, and he'll give you the English translation. But what Prabhupada did, he would make his own translation. He would quote a verse and then explain it, And this is really a wonderful way of enlivening a class, if you're giving class. Then you chant a relevant verse, and then there's so many other ideas brought in there in the verse, and you can expand. So we read the translation and study the word-for-word meanings for the first line of the verse. Now this is something I always emphasize, and that is that you need to know the meaning of what you're memorizing and chanting. This like a morning program, samsara dharma book. Now that's, for those who are regular and they always come to that or we're studying Sanskrit, so what does that mean? As you sing it, you should know. Samsara dharma mavalinga loka tranai. That's the first idea that's given. Now, let me ask you. Who can say what samsara dharma mava means? Raise your hand. Okay, we have a lot of scholars looking at it. Yes, the forest fire. It's a blazing forest fire. And then linda loka? Is samsara dharma mava linda loka? No. What's the linda? They're suffering. People are suffering. I'm sorry, dude. And then, what the spiritual method? Tranaya. That's the last word in the compound. See, in Sanskrit, you can string together so many words to make a big compound. And then, the idea is enhanced. So this is the first thing we sing, those who come to Manavati. The first idea that, goes in your head, to push out all the dreams and everything in that, is, the spiritual master is saving me and all of us from the forest fire of material life. And how? Tanaya Gamaganakama, like a cloud, having mentioned the cloud of mercy, right? So that's why you're going to get saved from the forest fire. So if you understand the meaning, you can really feel the heat, of the burning fire, and then you feel the cooling rain coming down from the Guru's grace. Then what's the natural emotion that comes? Gratitude. That should be the first one. It should well up in the heart, And when we before the deities and the gifts is there, and each line has that. These words have so much depth and meaning to them. When I work with Gopi Pranadana Prabhu and Vrindananda Maharaj on the Bhagavatam in the 80s, we completed the 10th, 11th, and 12th cantos. I had a great fortune of working with them. I was exposed to some of the commentaries of the Acharya Maharaj, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Jiva Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. It's amazing how much they could glean from one word. They would say, this word means this in relation to this, and it could also mean this. Sanatana Goswami would expand on every verse, practically a whole essay. There's so much there that our acharyas have given. And you see it in Prabhupada's purports. How many purports could say, expand on the meaning. So, this all becomes available when we have verses like that, and some of them memorize, we can repeat them and share with each other. They provide a wonderful way of engaging the intelligence in the service of Krishna. And it's very pleasing to Krishna and the Acharyas. I was recently reading the Kunda Maharaj's wonderful memoir, Miracle on Second Avenue, and he describes one point where he was talking, I think it was in San Francisco, And he was telling Prabhupada about some plans of doing something else. And he mentioned that he quoted this one verse. He had only one verse memorized. Ishvara Padma Krishna. And when Prabhupada heard that, he lit up. His face lit up and happened. And Prabhupada says he seemed to be more interested in that and by that than all the other plans I was talking about. And I think it was brought the out there. It was the first brought the out there. But Prabhupada is so enlightened when we learn verses. So we should know that we'll also get that blessing if we take a little austerity. So, study the word-for-word meanings, determine the meter of the first line. More about the meter later. Then, it's simple. You chant the first line of the verse repeatedly until memorized, always thinking of the meaning. With long verses, you may have to break it up. Work on the first line until you've got it down. The keys to success are concentration and repetition. Once again, to remind you, all of this is available outside. I can provide you PowerPoints and PDF files, exactly what you see here. Then you proceed to the second line, repeating all the steps. Always think of the meaning as you're chanting. Para-like chanting leads to good forgetfulness. This is, so the meaning is the key. Complete the verse, chant to the deities, and share it with your friends. So this is my seven easy steps. Basically, the principle is you have to want to do it, focus, and repeat. Repetition. And that's how you memorize it. So let's proceed. We're going to have a little discussion on pronunciation. Some of this may be familiar to many of you. But you need to know how the vowels are working. If you're going to understand the meter, develop an understanding of the meter, then you have to know what are the short vowels and what are the long vowels. So these are all the vowels up there. O, A, I, E, U, U, R, 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 and R. Now that R, that long L, doesn't appear in any word. So you don't have to worry too much about it. But it's an official letter, so I'll put it in there. A, I, O, L. Those last four are like combinations of other vowels. And they're all long. So now we separate these vowels into short and long. There's five short vowels, A, E, U, R, and R, and the A is like the default. When they write the Sanskrit in the Devanagari, if the vowel is A, there's nothing there, because it's default, right? And then there's the other short vowels, and then there's all those long ones, A, E, U, R, R, A, I, O, A. So now this will become very important when we discuss meter. It's a little simple. We're not going to go through all of these. These are the consonants, kaka, etc. One should note that they're... is there any question? Raise your hand. Yes, sir. Which one? Dri. The L and the Dri. Dri. It's like a combination of L and on. Dri. So watch out for these here. These are called aspirated consonants, and they have that H, you see that? But it's still a single consonant, it's a single sound. So instead of ka, nothing always dies, man. So it's ka and ka, ga and ka. You see, they add a little air, cha and cha. So the main thing to watch for is in the meter. That it doesn't count as two consonants, but only one. Okay, next. Okay, so here we're going to just define what meter is. Now meter is very advanced, just like any other cultural thing, like music, Indian music, all those ragas, those subtle beats, much more advanced than Western music. Western music is a pretty crude comparison, I think, anyway. So the same thing is true for, this is called prosody. In English, it's called prosody. This is the beat in any rhyme. So what have you got? Iambic pentameter, you have like a dozen, regular. But in Sanskrit, you have literally hundreds of meters. So here's the definition. It's called chanda in Sanskrit. So chanda, or meter, is a combination of long, known as heavy, and short, known as light syllables. The reason why we call heavy and light rather than long and short is because those terms are referred for the vowels. Long vowel and short vowel. And a light syllable is held half as long as a heavy one, like an eighth note versus a quarter note of music. How many of you are familiar with music notation? Anyone say? Yeah. So we sense it intuitively. An eighth note will be da 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 da, and a quarter note da 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 da, twice as long. And so meter is a combination of those. The whole thing is just like those two. Like the ones and zeros in the computer. You would think, like, it makes such a wonderful variety. It's like that. What is a syllable? A syllable is a combination of letters with one vowel sound. I'll illustrate all these points. And a verse is a combination of generally four pavas or quarters arranged generally in two lines of Devanagari text and four lines of transliterated text. And here you see the illustration of the pavas. So this is the way it's usually written, but we, like in the Bhagavad Gita, you see in the old Bhagavad Gita, especially one manah, 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 one man one on top of each other. But generally in the Sanskrit, you see they're written like this. Longer verses may be written in four lines of Devanagari, Chintamani, Pagadasattva Sutta, and have only one pada per line. And there are some special verses that have only two padas, so we'll illustrate that. Next. Okay, so this is a little long and technical. I'm not going to belabor the point. You can study it if you want to get it. So this is, what is a heavy syllable? So there's five different ways it can be a heavy syllable. And remember, that's the one that's held a little longer. A syllable whose vowel is followed by anuswar, that's the M with the dot over it. And here's from a famous verse. Here's one, ma me kum shabanam vraja. That kum and that nam am there are heavy. Aham kwam, sabapapa. Here's the anuswar. So as soon as you see the anuswar, you know you have a heavy syllable. A syllable whose vowel is followed by visarga, that's the H with the dot over it. And we have one at the end here. The syllable whose vowel is long. So anytime you see a long vowel, a long A here, long A here, long A here, that means it's heavy syllable. A syllable whose vowel is followed by a combination of two or four consonants. So here you have a short A, but there's a double consonant. You see the R and B, so that's heavy. Sarva dharma. And you have the R and the N, you have the T and the Y. These are all short vowels, but they're followed by double consonants. A syllable that is at the end of a pada. So generally at the very end here, you'll pause, even if it looks like it could be a short or a light syllable. Next. And what is a light syllable? Much simpler. This is a syllable with a short vowel here, followed by less than two consonants, usually one. This is one consonant. Remember I said, watch out for those aspirated. So sarva dharma paditya, short A, followed by single R, and it goes on like this. Ignore the hyphens, don't worry about those, the spaces, it doesn't mean anything, except here between the padas. Aspirated consonants, remember I mentioned count as one consonant. Okay, let's see how this plays out. So now we're just going to do some examples, and here's where you're going to get to do some chanting. And we'll get a feel for these different meters. So here's this famous verse. I'll say, you say, Sarva-dharma-paditya-jya.
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 Mame-kama-sharanam-vraja.
Mame-kama-sharanam-vraja.
Aham-tvam-sarva-pape-yo.
Aham-tvam-sarva-pape-yo.
By far the most common meter, like practically the whole line, as far as I know, is written in this meter. And most of the Mahabharata, and you know, you're like in the Gita, you'll see it. But there's another meter that comes up in the 11th chapter sometimes. So, but this is like, I don't know, it's kind of the default. It's easy to write and easy to get a lot of information in a long time. Okay, next. So I'm going to read the translation so that we don't lose the meaning. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Okay, now this is a little longer verse. Are you familiar? This is text 4 of Shikshastika. Now notice that each of these meters has a name. A Vyogini is the name of the meter, which means a woman separated from a lover or husband. Now, there's something interesting about that meter, I'll tell you, this meter. But here's the way the proverb always chants. Nadam nadamam sundari.
Nadam nadamam najanam nasundari.
Nadam nadamam nasundari.
Nadam najanam nasundari.
Kavitam vajagadishakamaye.
Kavitam vajagadishakamaye.
This comes up all the time. You know, who knows what that word means? Ahoy tuki. Yeah. Go ahead. Ahoy tuki.
Unmotivated.
Yes. Now it comes from the word hitu. Hitu means cause, right? Or reason. So you say, well, unmotivated. Well, if it's unmotivated, then why are you doing it? You just sit like a dead stone. You have no motivation. But that's not what it means. Especially in the no material motivation. The only motivation is please Krishna. That's supposed to be the only motivation for any of our activities, right? So that's what he's praying for. You know, O Lord of the universe, yeah, go ahead. O Lord of the universe, I do not desire material wealth, materialistic followers, a beautiful wife, or fruit of activity described in flowery language. All I want, life after life, is unmotivated devotional service to you. So Lord Chaitanya is teaching us how to pray. You can pray to Kishori with that prayer. And the next one also, you know, I know that's a Nudya Kinkta, which is not the one we're going to study here. But this is, you know, you make it your, now all of us should know the Shikshastra. The Shikshastra is the foundational for this entire movement. And this is, so it's encouraging. You need to know the meaning. Now go back one, because I'm going to show you again. So now this meter, just if you're interested in this, the fine points here, there's another way of chanting this, as well as the next verse and the one after. They're all in the same meter. And that is by not pausing at the end here. And it goes like this. It's kind of where you can simply play a drum to it. Na 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 It's another way of chanting. It's perfectly valid. So maybe I'll tell you how that works later. But you find that in many of the verses, suddenly, you know, you're in the middle of an amazing, like, rash. You know, I just decided, like, let's stop for a second. In San Diego, we boldly went, because no one had went before me, went to the 14th chapter and went all through the 10th canon. We actually in our morning class. And so we kind of came to the 87th chapter. Who knows what the 87th chapter contains? Huh? Prayers of the Sanctified Vedas. You know, anyone who's familiar with Krishna book, it's amazing. You go through the chapters, about 5 pages, 7 pages, suddenly you're in a chapter, it's about 40 pages, pages long. It's very, why is that? Because it's a very deep philosophy. And all our commentators wrote extensively on each verse. So Prabhupada, you know, translated it, very, very profound. But then the meter is amazing. The meter is, this is the first one. Jaya 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 mantita dhoja kubi kuna tamasi yadara anana samabhadu kusamastamara agudhaka kod sama kita shaktira bodh vete pachata jaya jaya chata kutu chade nikamo. There's a lot in there, the way I'm back. But it really, it has a will to it, doesn't it? So one little thing, as we were chanting this chapter, believe me, the devotees in San Diego also couldn't chant it either, so don't worry. But, and then you didn't have a big enough Bible. I mean, those are big verses, you know. But in any case, one thing I realized, this whole chapter takes place. These are the Upanishads, the sanctified. They're waking up on a mission at the beginning of the universe. So he's going to open his eyes and glance, and then all the living entities are going to be ejected, right? So nothing is created yet. This is all taking place in Vaikuntha or wherever, on Vishnu. So I was realizing, wow, before there was anything, there was jazz. Did you ever think about that? Very cool. So you know, the whole chapter is in that meter. And it's, if you get it down, it's very extraordinary. But this is a different meter, so go on to the next one. Okay, now this is the third verse of the whole Bhagavatam. And it's called Dhruta Vilambata, fast and slow alternatively. So let's see if we can chant. Nigamakal Pataro Galitam Palam.
Nigamakal Pataro Galitam Palam.
Nigamakal Pataro Galitam Palam.
Nigamakal Pataro Galitam Palam.
Sukamukha Namita Drava Samyutam.
Sukamukha Namita Drava Samyutam.
Sukamukha Namita Drava Samyutam.
Sukamukha Namita Drava Samyutam.
Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam.
Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam.
Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam.
Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam.
Mohoraho Rasika Bhuvibhavuka.
Mohoraho Rasika Bhuvibhavuka.
Okay, here's the meaning. All expert and thoughtful men, relishing Bhagavatam, the mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literatures. It emanated from the lips of Sri Sukadeva Goswami. Therefore, this food has become even more tasteful. Although its nectarian juice was already relishable for all, including liberated souls. So Bhagavatam is really very sweet. You find so many wonderful expressions of love for Krishna, descriptions of Krishna, deep philosophy, Dhruva's prayer, the last prayers. And it's, I think it's significant, you know, that right at the beginning, you know, third verse, after that heavy, you know, second verse, and Parma approaching the Kali Devota, and all this achievement is ticked out of it. You know, it's very heavy, the first verse. But now this is a wonderful lilting verse, giving you a hint of some of the poetic and attractive ability that literature you can do. So, okay, go on. Now we come to a familiar verse. It's called the Sun of Timata, the ornament of spring.
Chintamani prakarsatma sukalpa vriksha. Chintamani prakarsatma sukalpa vriksha.
Vriksha vriteshi sudapira vipalayantam.
Laksha vriteshi sudapira vipalayantam.
Lakshmi sahasra satasam namasevyamanam.
Lakshmi sahasra satasam namasevyamanam.
Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. You know, this is sounds a little bit like a South Indian, you know, India. So that's a bona fide tune, it's kind of the universal tune for this, you know, meter. And you notice, we go back one second, there's something at the end here. Govinda Mani Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. That's called the same sura. In music, that's a pause, which kind of enhances the music of it. And there are other places in other meters where I'll show you where you can pause. And everything, Vande Ram Shri Guroshi. So there's two. Vande Ram Shri Guru, stop. Shri Guru Pada Kamalam, Caesar. Shri Guru, Shri Guru, Vaishnavastra. Vande Ram Shri Guru, Shri Guru Pada Kamalam, Shri Guru, Vaishnavastra. Did it? This is Kansas. Alright, going on. I worship Govinda, the Bharati Lord, the first progenitor, who is tending cows, healing all desires, and abodes filled with spiritual gems, and surrounded by millions of purpose trees. He is always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. Excellent. Okay, now it gets a little bit more difficult. These are like, this is a wonderful verse from the Adi Leela. It's quoted from the Guru Goswami, wrote this. He begins his Savabhava, which is full of all kinds of wonderful shlokas, with three prayers, three octaves to Lord Chaitanya. This is the second one. It's quoted in the Adi Leela chapter 4, I believe. No. So here's this figure. It's quite common. The Goswamis wrote many things in this meter. Shikharini, a dish of yogurt and sugar with spices. 17 syllables per line. Okay, then we want to try it. I'll do it slow. It's very beautiful. Smita loka shokam patatika katam yasya pavitro.
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 Okay, this one is so sweet. I'm going to try to explain it as we go. So smita loka means the smiling glance. It's supposed to be about Chaitanya. His smiling glance, smita aloka, shokam hanati, it steals away all lamentation, removes all lamentation. Here you can see, look at Lord Chaitanya's smiling glance. Who could be having any lamentation with you? And then, everyone in the universe, yasya padito means all around, everyone gets, you know, relieved. And then gira, these are the words, and his words, prarambha, I'm not sure what that means. Kushala Patali means the sprouts of auspicious sprouts in the heart. Halalayati causes to awaken. So his words cause the love of God, the sprout of love, to start growing in the heart by hearing his words. Remember? Gauravani Pachari. That's what Prabhupada is giving us. Then Pada Alamba means embracing the feet. Alamba and Pada. The love is breaking the feet. Indeed, you know, this is this expression of exhalation. Praniyati Mahi Prayanamaha. Produces, would it not, you know, could it not possibly produce lots of prema? Gives rise to prema. His grace of Lord's feet means he becomes a servant of Lord Chaitanya. And then the last line, Sadevas Chaitanya Kutu. May that Lord, in the form of Kutu of Chaitanya, bestow upon us his great mercy. So let's try it from the top. Smita loka shokam adhajita katam nasya padito.
Smita loka shokam adhajita katam nasya padito.
Dhiram dhukharambha kushana patalim talalavayati.
Dhiram dhukharambha kushana patalim talalavayati.
Dhiram dhukharambha kushana patalim talalavayati. Personality of Godhead in the form of Lord Sri Chaitanya bestow his boundless mercy upon us. His smiling glance at once drives away all the delusions of the world, and his very words enliven the auspicious creepers of devotion by expanding their wings. Taking shelter of his lotus feet invokes transcendental love of God at once. So this is a sweet verse. As soon as I read it, I had to memorize it. See, this is memorizing verses. I always thought it's like you're picking up jewels, you know, and placing it in your pocket. This is each one of these verses. they you can call upon at any time, you know, to knock away any kind of fog that's entering your mind and so forth. They're very powerful mantras. And so we should become greedy for that. We have to give up material greed, but we should become greedy for these kind of vibrations to know more and more of them. Okay, next. Now, these are the pairs of verses. This is from the 35th chapter, called the Yuga Gita. Now, the Bhagavad Gita is four Gopi Gita. They're all songs of separation. Gopis of separation. You may be most familiar with Veda Gita. Sri Guru Swami expanded a wonderful book on the basis of Veda Gita, chapter 21. So this is the Gopis singing songs, especially geared toward focusing on Krishna's flute and its effects, you know, on all residents of Vrindavan. Chapter 35 is called Yuga Gita because it's pairs of Gopis meet and they sing these pairs of verses. And it parallels this Veda Gita. It's very wonderful, this chapter. This particular meter called Svagata, welcoming meter, is one that you can play a drum to. And you'll hear it when you try it. I picked out this one among the others. It's a very nice translation. So let's see if we can understand.
Darshani tilako vamamala. Darshani tilako vamamala.
Divya ganga tulsi mamamattaya.
Divya ganga tulsi mamamattaya.
Halikulaya lakukita mavishtam.
Halikulaya lakukita mavishtam.
Adriyamyari samdita veyu.
Adriyamyari samdita veyu.
Salasi sasa hamsa vipangash. But you can hear, and the interesting thing is, you see the sadasi sadasa? That these lines, they're getting faster. Alikulaya, alagudita. So it's explained by the acharyas that as the time the day goes on, they're singing these during the day, and waiting for Krishna to come back. So as the day progresses, their hearts are beating a little faster, so they start doubling on the meter a little. This is, you know, some of the fine points of this. So what does this mean? Let's see. Maddened by the divine honey-like aroma of the tulsi flowers on the garland Krishna wears, swarms of bees sing loudly for him, and that most beautiful of all persons thankfully acknowledges and acclaims their song by taking his flute to his lips and playing upon it. The charming flute song then steals away the minds of the cranes, the swans, and other lake-dwelling birds. Indeed, they approach Krishna, close their eyes, and maintaining strict silence, worship Him by fixing their consciousness upon Him in deep meditation. And this is very similar to a verse in the Vedic. Okay, next. Now, this is our famous Shardula Vikriditam, tiger's play. You may not know it by that name, but the very first verse of the Bhagavatam, all the songs of the Goswamis. This looks like one, but it isn't. They're all in this meter. Chaitanya Doctrine of Arjuna is very common. And it also can be played with a beat. Krishna Ketana Gamata Tamakala Pato Jani Vrajita. Actually, let me just chant as a Krishna Ketana Gamata Tamakala Pato Jani Vrajita.
Krishna Ketana Gamata Tamakala Pato Jani Vrajita.
Sambhakta Vati Hansa Chakta Madhupa Shreni Vrahavas Pahom.
Sambhakta Vali Hansa Chakra Madhupa Shreni
Shri Chaitanya Dayan Deta Balasal Leena Sudhas Farbhani.
Shri Chaitanya Dayan Deta
Balasal Leena Sudhas Farbhani. Is anyone familiar with this verse? You read the Chaitanya Charitamrita and you come to chapter 2. It's a wonderful verse, a beautiful purpose. I don't recommend it, but let's see what it says. O my merciful Lord Chaitanya, may the nectarian Ganges waters of your transcendental activities fall on the surface of my desert-like tongue. This is a prayer by Krishna's Kaviraj, if he writes it. See, see? Beautifying these waters are the lotus flowers of singing, dancing, and mild chanting of Krishna's holy name, which are the pleasure abodes of all the Lord devotees. Those devotees are compared to swans, ducks, and bees. The river's flowing produces a melodious sound that gladdens their ears. And Prabhupada wrote a purport. He describes how this world is just like a desert, you know, and we're always looking for water in this desert, but only the little drops of sense gratification, which never satisfies. But if you just take shelter of the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, then you can dive into this nectarian Ganges, you know, transcendental Ganges, and drink, let's say, Lord Chaitanya's lila and holy name to your heart's content. It's a wonderful program, I would recommend. Okay, now, next comes, we're going to actually memorize some verses. But before we do, I'd like to maybe just we have a little kirtan for a few minutes? Because this is going to take a while. It's supposed to go to 6 o'clock. And so I think it's too long. Is it for 2.5 hours? I can't stand up again. why don't we just get up? It's been 5 minutes for the little kirtan. And then we can sit down and start memorizing these wonderful verses.
Yeah.
picked out a selection of verses that maybe most of you haven't memorized yet. And most of the first ones hang up with my little poetic rendition, which you can also memorize. But this one is especially easy because most of the words are monologue. Once you memorize that word, you've got most of the depth of verse count or more. So let's follow our principle. First thing is, read the translation. Sweet, sweet is my dear lord's form. Sweet, sweet still his face, so fair. But his honey-scented, gentle smile is sweet beyond.
Oh my God.
This is by Kodomata Thakur from the Krishna Karnamika. Now I kind of put this together in a little bit of a rush. I didn't have the chance to give all the references here. But you should know that all these verses are in one of my CDs out there called Nectar Poems. I have old references and like that. So if you're used to it. So let's say the meter here is simplicity itself. Also, you say, Madhura, 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 Silva.
Madhura.
So now what's our system? We're going to go through the synonyms. Remember, first we go each line. So it's very easy. Madhuram, I left out the madhurams on in the synonyms. It's like, you know what it means? Sweet. So we know what that word means. So madhuram, madhuram, two madhurams, notice. The transcendental form, apu, asya, vibhor, apu, vibhor. Vibhor means the great lord, he who has good words. So, apu, asya, vibhor. It's not an accident that Bhapu and Vibhor start with the same letter. You know, he would use all these ornaments. This is called alliteration in English. But in Sanskrit, it doesn't have to be at the beginning of the word as it does in English. So, this form, right, by Lord, is very, very sweet. Two sweets. Bhapu or less simple. Okay, simple. Second line, simplicity itself. While the opening space, three sweets. So it's even sweeter than the form. See, it is concentrated. You know, the sweetest of course is the smile. Right? So that's the third line, that's the hard one. Okay. So let's see if we can get this down. I'll say you see. Madhuram, madhuram, madhuram,
madhuram.
Reduce me to eat and all. This, oh my Lord, oh my Lord. all it is you know, the whole is in it. Smile is the fragrance of honey is you already know that one. So I'll say you say try to think of the meaning. Madhukam nidhu smitameta daho. Madhukam nidhu smitameta daho.
Madhukam
nidhu smitameta daho.
Maharaji, Kundi, come.
Madhukam nidhu smitameta daho.
Okay, you can do the last line, and it's a tough one.
Madhuram, 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 madhuram.
Okay, so we have it down. Now, straighten the brain. I'll say you sing. Madhuram, madhuram, madhurasya vibho.
Madhuram, madhuram, madhurasya vibho.
Madhuram, madhuram, vadanam madhuram.
Madhuram, madhuram, vadanam madhuram.
Madhukam divridhu smitam etadaho.
Madhukam divridhu smitam etadaho.
Madhuram, 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 madhuram.
Madhuram, 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 madhuram.
Thank you. Very sweet. So, some of you may or may not have memorized that, but you can. It's on your CD. We'll go on. It's a little harder after this. Okay. Moving on. Next.
This.
Oh, that is it. Okay. Now, this is the prayer of Queen Kunti. Some of you may have already known this prayer. But I always found this very enlightening when I first read it. When I came to Krishna Consciousness, I joined in March 27th. In 1973, 2 weeks later, Prabhupada comes to the temple. I thought it was just a regular thing, and he always comes to the temple. It's like a very rare opportunity. He was speaking on his Kunti prayers. And I don't know if he spoke on this one, but I got reminded about those prayers. I started reading them. Very wonderful. You can offer this to the deities. So, first we'll read the translation. I put it into a little poem. O marvelous Lord, please ever fill my mind with thoughts of thee, not any other kind. As Gandhi's torrent flows into the sea, let all my flow and all my love flow constantly to thee. This is the second to last Kunti prayer. So, simple meter, this is called the Anushtuk meter, the eight syllable word I use. So let's look at the first line. Twai unto you, may, my, ananya vishaya. Now you notice that first day is missing, that happens when you have a previous word beginning and ending with a vowel. Ananya vishaya. In this case, vishaya, unalloyed. Vishaya really means subject matter. Tribunal vishaya from Gita. Maybe the Gita's three deal with the three modes of nature, the subject matter. Vishaya can mean subject matter or object of sense gratification. So she wants no other subject matter, besides him in my mind. Tribunal ananya vishaya. Mati, my attention or mind. Madhupate, oh Lord of the Mothers, it's the name of Krishna. Asakrit, not once, but always. Sakrit means once, so not once, and this is the opposite. Continuously. You see that? So that's the first two lines. Let's chant and see if you can think of the meaning.
Twayame ananda vishaya.
Twayame ananda vishaya.
Twayame
ananda
vishaya.
Okay, can you lead? You can watch. Go ahead, read.
Twayame ananya vishaya.
Twayame ananya vishaya.
Mati madhu mutpate asakrit.
Mati madhu mutpate asakrit.
One lady.
Twayame ananya vishaya. Mati madhu mutpate asakrit.
All right, that's going on. So it's interesting. Yes, ma'am.
When we say Twayime, is it Ananya or
Twayime
Nanya?
It should be Nanya. Twayime Ananya Vishaya. Good job there. Now notice this is one of the features of this verse. You have the Mati, the mind, and then you have the Rati. Is it? I made a little motto out. First Mati, then Rati. Which means, first we have to fix our mind on Krishna, and then the love will naturally flow. Don't think that you're going to jump up and, all kinds of pride and muscles without actually being fixed and thinking of Krishna 24 hours a day. You know, that's the first thing. So she's praying like that. And then the Rati Mahata. So Rati Mahata means attraction, and Udvahata may overflow. Udvahata may overflow. In other words, no love for anything else. In the previous verse, she asked Krishna to cut off her attraction even for her sons, you know, and the Pandas and the Rishis. Famous verse. May it overflow, Adha, directly. May it my attraction be directly to you. And then the analogy, Ganga, even disliking the Ganges. What is it? The Oga. Oga is like a flood. That's it. Flows into the sea, the Gangati. So that's a Ganga Sagara, right? Where the Ganges meets the sea. Very powerful. It's the most wide, and you can't stop it. There's no barrier of grief there or anything. So just like that, let it just flow without any impediment. That's the idea. Okay, Ratamun Mahata Radha.
Ratim Mahata Radha.
Ratamun Mahata Radha.
Ratim Mahata Radha.
Gange Mao Gamadambati.
Gange Mao Gamadambati.
Gange Mao Gamadambati.
Gange Mao Gamadambati.
Okay, so now we'll try Radha. Yeah, see if you can see if I can. Try me Nandivishaya. Whatever you hear, why does another Saraswati? Whatever he read, he remembered all his life. You can imagine the power of that intelligence. I mean, the thing is, it's really a function of also very calm mind, which is practically a moment ago. So much disturbance. But in spite of our handicap, we can still memorize, you know, and get the verse. So I encourage you to work on this verse. This is a very nice verse. And going forward. Okay, so here's a fun verse. This is from the Krishna Karimamrita, right near the end. And put it into a little poem. And again, you know, Jaya 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 Deva Deva Deva. You have a memory story, right? I mean, that's one of the easy things. And the third line is all similar. So it's pretty easy, but it's really natural. So, glory, 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 glory to thee, who with thy holy name bless all three worlds and set them free. O glory, glory, glory unto thee, O Krishna Dev, whose nectar floods our ears and eyes and hearts in endless waves. So, here's the meter. It's Vilma Magalai can sometimes make up his own meters. It's a rare meter. Jai, 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 deva, deva, deva.
Jai, 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 deva, deva, deva.
Chukumama, mongyama, dhikvya, nama, deva. The other being the Paramasamhita, right? So he was so much enthralled with this book that he made it popular. Because of that, that's why we know it. So this is one of the verses from the Karnataka. Simple ones, I cut out a little diagram that I did, so there's only a few synonyms there. So we know what that means. All boys and boys to you, Tribhuvana, the three worlds, Mangala, auspicious, Divya, Namadeya. Your name, your divine name is auspicious for all three worlds. Simple. Tribhuvana, Mangala, Divya, Namadeya. And then Dayadeva, Krishna Deva, Shravana, the ear, Mana, Mano, becomes the mind, Mayati, the eyes, Amrita, Avatara, you are an incarnation who is connected for ears, eyes, and mind. Simple verse, but full of a lot of juice. So let's try one more time. Jaya 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 Devi Devi Deva Okay, this is what I found when I was reading the 11th canto. It's when I read this verse, it kind of a light, you know, it's only a verse that the light bulb goes on. So this is such a wonderful verse for understanding the basics of Krishna consciousness, and also this idea of this world like a dream. Remember we were discussing that last night? So this is how the translation goes, like one awakened from a dream, the wise soul sees the truth, though dwelling in the body, dwelling in his body, he's entirely aloof. The foolish soul, however, though he's transcendental too, sees his body as himself, as if the dream were true. And it's, you know, very illuminating. So here's this deha, in the material body, stuff situated, although we're situated with the body, not deha stuff. So Krishna said, you know, he's situated with the body, but he's not situated with the body. It looks like two contradictory things. He uses the same exact words, you see. But although situated in the body, he knows he's not actually in the body. This is the realized soul, the vidman, wise soul. Swapna yata utita, as if he's awakened from a dream. Swapna from the dream, yata just says utita, I remember. So this is, but the foolish soul, the kumati, you see the kumati, a foolish person? Adeya stopi, deya star. Even though he's also not really in the body, he's convinced he is in the body, deya star. Kumati swapna dreamyata, just as if he's seen according to his dream, swapna dreamyata. I'll say this. Deya stopi, deya stopi. This is a prayer by Vritrasra. Remember Vritrasra? He was actually Chitraketu on the inside, but he took the form of this horrible demon. And so this was about before he was ready to pass away, battling Indra. And I think he's got his arms cut off, and he's lying there. But he's praying. He's revealing his inner being now. And this is what a beautiful prayer. I struck with this when I first read it way back in the sixth canto. And he's praying to have the association of devotees. Really sweet. Oh my Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, may I again be able to be a servant of your eternal service who find shelter only at your lotus feet. Oh Lord of my life, may I again become their servant so that my mind may always think of your transcendental attributes, my words always glorify those attributes, and my body always engage in the loving service of your Lordship. This is such a wonderful prayer. So you can see, aham hare, om hare, chanadivide. Tava pala eka guna. So the bottom of the feet, right situated at the feet. Dasa adasa. I want to be the anudasa of your das, the ones who are situated at the lotus feet. You see? Dasa adasa, bhavitasmi bhuya. Shall I become, or may I become, bhavitasmi? Again, the servant of the servant of your pure devotees who are the lotus feet. That's the first. And, it's really a question. He's saying, may I be? So let's do those two lines. Aham hare tava padaya kamala.
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 Dasana daso bhavitasma guya.
Dasana daso bhavitasma guya.
Okay, then what's the result of that? Monarchsmade Asupatir, because of the Asupatir, the Lord of his life. Asupatir, you see that? Asupatir. That my mind may remember your gunas, your attributes. Monarchsmade Asupatir, your namaste, and you are. And then Gunita Bhak, my words will chant those qualities, Gunita Bhak, and my hands, my body itself, will perform activity for your worship. In other words, this is the prayer of the engaged in the service and the association. Manasmane, manasmane, dasupate, namaste.
Manasmane, namaste.
Gunita bhakam karotukaya.
Gunita bhakam karotukaya.
Alright, so this one, if you take the reference down, you can memorize it. And then I think we're going to move on. What do we got next? All right, so this is the last one. This is, you may be familiar with it. Again, back to Kunti. And she's appreciating the value of hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna. After all, this is about remembrance. And what's the result? See Krishna's lotus feet. O Krishna, those who continuously hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities, or take pleasure in others doing so, certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. And let's look at the symptoms now. Because Srimbandi, to hear, Gayati, to chant, or sing, Rimandi, to take, or accept, Abhishasa, continuously, very important part. Smalanti, they remember, Nandanti, they take pleasure, Tava Ihitam, Ihitam is activities, or Leela, Janat. So people in general who take to these processes, the result will be Pashyanti, Achideva, quickly, Achideva means very soon they will see, certainly, Tavakam, Padarvajam. So your lotus feet, which are Bhava Prabhava Paramo. So what is the Bhava? Bhava Prabhava is the very powerful current of birth and death. You see, but it's Upadha, it's stopped. By getting the vision of your lotus feet, which comes from extensive hearing and chanting. This is what she's saying. Very nice verse.
Shunbhavanti gayanti grinanti vikshasa.
Shunbhavanti gayanti grinanti vikshasa.
Shunbhavanti gayanti grinanti vikshasa.
Shunbhavanti gayanti grinanti vikshasa.
Shunbhavanti nandanti tavedikam jana.
Shunbhavanti nandanti tavedikam jana.
Taeva pasyam achideva thavakam.
Kamaka 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 Kam
그것들은 너무 힘든 것들이 선생님의 대신을 하는 것들이 그것들은 그것들은 힘든 것들이 힘든 것들이 So what it means is that So you can hear the case. This is an ornament. Right? So what it says there is that Krishna's golden waist belts are tinkling very sweetly. He's crawling in front of his mother. A series of golden waist belts are going very sweetly tinkling. Smitabhupam, beautiful smiling face. Udvula Nasika Ramuktam. On the tip of his nose, he's got this bulging pearl fixed. This is a seam, you see? Smitabhupam, Udvula Nasika Ramuktam. Muktam is a pearl. That in his hand, Kalutatanavanitapindam. In his hand, he's holding a fresh portal. Kalutatanavanitapindam, a great Tamiyamadeksha, in front of the mother, who she's seeing all this, and Nanandapapindam. What a wonderful phrase. So he showed his Nananda Padmi, the wife of Nanda, and Nananda means to delight. So this scene is delighting him. He showed it to the wife of Nanda. So it comes out Nananda Nanda Padmi. You see that? So let's see if you can understand the meaning. Kanaka, Kwanata Kanaka Tinka Nika Lava, Smita Mukha Vukhuda Nasaka Vimukta. Kabutata Nanita Kinka Nambi, Tani Himanation of Nanda. Beautiful thinking, it's a meditation. So this, our literature is full of these. Don't neglect them. Try to make them your own. And you'll find that your Krishna consciousness is improved. And everything, before, you know, live to preach and to serve to do everything. So then we're going to take a 5-minute break. If you will. Yes, but any questions, comments? Yes.
Small question. You gave 7 steps to memorize verses. I'm trying to assist my son who is not yet 8 years old. Do you think the same 7 steps can be used with the other children because they...
The same one?
The seven rules.
You might have to moderate the rule, you know. But basically, I mean, which ones can you cut out? You have to find out how to pronounce.
The meaning of the words, can they come later? Can this memory...
This is what I understand when I talk to some of the devotees who teach in Guru or Mayapur, they do that. They memorize all kinds of verses because kids, you know, when they're smart, they can go out, you know. And then they teach them the meaning later. This is another way of doing it. But my experience for myself, anyway, is that that's a large part of what keeps me enlightened about memorizing is to have the meaning of it. So maybe not all of them, but you should have some like the easy ones, like sweet, you know. They should know what they're saying. And I think a little of the English poems helps a lot. You know, that's much easier for them. They will have the meaning. You know, so at least I'll know that. All right, this is going to be 1 minute break. We're going to sit down 5 minutes, and we can assemble at 10 after 5, and we'll have some fun with more shlokas and poems. Hare Krishna. Those who are still with us, if you'd like to absorb yourself in Krishna's qualities and pastimes. This is a poem I wrote. It's not a Sanskrit poem. It's certainly worth memorizing. But it was inspired by a Sanskrit poem. Some of you may be familiar with a poem called the Modarashtaka by Sri Bhattacharya. And it's similar to what we read. Modarama Madhurama has the same meaning. But it's a Rashtaka. And the last line goes, Modaradipateva Kilambha Madhurama, which means the emperor's sweetness is completely sweet. And it goes, I forget exactly what. Everything is Madhurama. So I said, well, this is sweet, it's nice, and why can't I do it in English? You know, so I put this together, and it's totally interactive. And you see how this works. So the way this works is, I'll sing two lines. No, I'll sing one line, and then you can repeat. The idea is to get absorbed. If you're also interacting like that, you've got to be absorbed. And then afterward, we'll have comes up with this picture, and we go on to the next verse. And the form is, it begins just describing Krishna. Then we have a few verses on the child of Rupa, the friendly, the Sakya Ras, and finally a little thing on the Rasa Nas. Okay? So you go through all of these verses and it's just a meditation. But it'll illustrate how it's a simple word, but because they're about Krishna, it's very high. Like Hare Krishna, simple but very profound. Okay, is everyone ready? Do we have a card to play too? It's right behind you. It's good. Alright, now remember, after every line, you can repeat it, right? Okay, you can read a D, between the two blank keys? Between the two, the answer.
Your love is sweet and hands are sweet. Love is sweet and hands are sweet. Your voice and Lord is name is sweet.
Your voice and Lord is name is sweet.
Your threefold bending pose is sweet.
Your threefold bending pose is sweet.
All things are sweet, your sweet are
sweet. Your sweet are sweet.
Your Lord is sweet and hands are sweet.
Your sweet and hands are sweet.
Your
anyone who can play cocktails with him in right time and watch me. Can you play? No. We need a cocktails. Preacher, thank you. Thanks, man. Okay. Sorry about that. All right, here we go. Moving forward. Senor. Yep. That's not the same thing. Voices speak. Oh, wait a minute. Voices speak, your words are sweet.
Thank you.
kirtan in the arti, right? Six. All the way to Shiva.
Yeah.